In an article in Progressive Christianity by Eric Alexander, he quotes a professor of sociology at Spring Arbor University. And this professor, whose name is only Paul, they didn't give him a last name, so I find that suspicious, but that's okay. He says, in Luke's gospel, Jesus begins his public ministry by reading from Isaiah 6:1. Good news to the poor, freeing the captives, liberating the oppressed are themes that run through the ministry of Jesus. The Bible clearly supports an economic system that promotes social wholeness. I'm about to manipulate you, okay? Yeah, but I'm telling you about it now, Roberta, okay? So you get a bonus. Does anybody here know what a double bind is? Do you? You're going to find out, okay? Here's question number one. Are you Christian?
Yes.
If you are Christian, raise your hand. Come to the spider web. Said the spider to the fly. Do you agree with the UCC's new campaign, Three Great Loves? Love of neighbor, love of children, love of creation? If so, raise your hand. silly people. See, some are learning. Some are like, I'm not putting my hand up. I don't know what you're talking about, Claire. It's all right. You will know. And you're still going to get trapped, so it doesn't matter. Okay? Equal opportunity. How many here want to be followers of Jesus? Okay. What's a double bind? Double bind is you're basically damned if you do, damned if you don't, no matter how you answer the question. Or blessed, depending on how you answer the question. Because if I ask you, are you Christian or do you want to be a follower of Jesus in a Christian church, who's going to say no? I mean, really, it's a setup, don't you think? And that's how I intended it. What did you think about today's reading? Baffling. Please explain. It's on already.
I've always found that a puzzling. The last shall be first and the first shall be last. And I don't understand it at all.
What about the rest of the reading? Did you understand the rest of it?
Yes.
Were you okay
yes.
with it?
Yeah, and the generosity of just keeping hiring people is wonderful.
For the same pay?
Yeah, and for the same pay, it's still wonderful, but...
Would you do that? It's okay, you don't have the answer.
I don't know.
Okay. You don't know. That's a fair answer. Okay, does anybody else have a feeling about it? No. Here, everybody needs to hear your words of wisdom.
Oh, thanks.
Welcome back, by the way.
Thank you. I'm not baffled by it, and I think when you go through life, you see it. You see, like, you know, be nice to a geek. You might be working for one. Or you see people that they were last, but guess what? They're first right now. And that could be a beautiful thing a lot of times, too. You see people in many different situations where they were not first. And the first, sometimes, they are last. They messed up or they messed their life up or whatever, and you see that they were on top and they're not on top anymore. So you see it at times, I think.
Okay,
Pastor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Yeah, anybody else? Excuse me.
Well, we read this morning in Percolate.
Mm-hmm.
And what I didn't pay attention to was the first part. The kingdom of God is like this. Whoa.
That should have been another question. How many of you would like to see the kingdom of God while you're here? Thank you. So the kingdom of God is like the generosity of this employer who pays everybody an equal wage regardless of what they work during the day. Yes? Okay. Hold on, I gotta make sure
ever so slightly cynical, but to me, having not studied it, it sounded like an appeasement for when bad things happen to good people.
Oh, say more, I never thought of that.
Well, if you like you said, the explanation is the kingdom of God. But if you're just listening and you're separating what happened, it just seems like, look, really terrible things are going to happen. You're not going to have any control over it, but it's okay because it's all part of the plan.
Oh, so you're looking at kingdom of God as a later thing as opposed to a here and now thing.
I guess so, yeah.
Okay, great. But it's Matthew, and Matthew means here and now, but that's a really good point because I think a lot of people do that. Thank you. That's a whole other sermon. We'll schedule that date on another time. Anybody else? I knew I should have had my step counter this morning.
Hi. I was also very baffled, but I attended a Bible study once, so it's cheating, I guess, because someone explained it to me.
Go.
And they said that whether we come to the Lord early or late, we will be with him in heaven. And some people are get saved late or saved early, be held against us.
So you look at us being saved?
Yes.
Okay. I don't.
Okay.
Okay. It's all good. It's all good.
It's hard.
It's what's hard?
I don't like it. Like, I've labored all damn day.
Uh-huh.
And worked really, sorry, kids. And worked really hard, and now you're just going to give this guy the same mm-hmm. amount?
And that girl.
Yeah. That sucks.
Okay.
I don't like it.
What are you doing? What are you drawing? You're drawing a neighborhood. Love of neighbor? Yeah? Do you think that we should love our neighbors? Yeah. What are you drawing? Oh, love of creation. What are you going to draw?
I'm going to draw.
I guess I'll draw my dog because she was created.
Oh, excellent. So we should love all creation?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Claire, Nico was, it's destroyed now. But you should ask Nico about what he was building.
What were you building before?
A second ago, I was building the stairs to heaven.
You were built. That could be a song. Did you? Was it really big?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Very cool.
It went all the way up went to all six way up. Blocks.
6 blocks? Wow.
And then I made a castle where everybody can live.
Oh, everybody?
Mm-hmm.
You just mean, like, people who work really hard?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't really mean...
Well, everybody except for bad people.
Okay, so how do we define bad people?
If they, like, hurt people.
What if God loves them? Should they come to the castle, too?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody. Well, which is it? Everybody or just some people? I'm busting. I'm teasing you so bad. They don't have the answer either, so don't even worry about it.
Everybody except for people that God doesn't love.
Do you think there are people that God doesn't love?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He doesn't love people that are bad.
You don't think she does? See, here's the thing. I think she does, and that's the problem.
He does?
She does. What you got going over there, kiddo?
A building.
A building? Because God loves creation? Yeah? How about you guys? Nicholas, you got something? Yeah, what do you got?
I builded some people.
You love people? Okay. Boy, this is really troublesome. So what's the answer? Is this a story? Aaron's back there going, I don't know. Is this a story about the kingdom later on? Is this a story about faith and a metaphor for people believing in Jesus or believing in God later, and no matter when they come, they're still accepted? Or is this a story about something else? What would that something else be? Say again? All are welcome where? Okay, all are welcome here and now in the kingdom of God. What does that mean, Sandy?
That's a darn good question.
That's I have something to say about the story. I think it means kind of like some people
go to church like every day and like worship and stuff, but some people may not, but they still believe in God. So it's like getting the same pay, like going into heaven, whether you worked really hard or not.
That's a very good answer, and it's very similar. I'm not sure that's what it's about, though. But it's a good, right? And quite frankly, to be fair, that is what we have been taught, isn't it? That this is some sort of metaphor that is saying that it's all about coming to God at some point. It doesn't matter where, but when you come to God, you will be accepted into the kingdom. In Luke's gospel, Jesus begins his public ministry by reading from Isaiah 61. Good news to the poor, freeing the captives, liberating the oppressed are themes that run through the ministry of Jesus. The Bible clearly supports an economic system that promotes social wholeness. John William Benson, who is a Christian educator, says, in the gospel traditions, Jesus is depicted as incessantly confronting the institutional and cultural forces of the wealthy and of the powerful, those who held sway over poverty, economic injustice, and oppression, though he often did it in very personal terms. His prophetic finger was clearly pointed at those entrenched in positions of both influence and affluence, afforded them by systems rigged in favor of their own self-interests. There was a little bit of a back and forth after Harvey. Do you remember? It was between Texas governors and senators and what's his name from New Jersey? Christie, whom we all love and adore. Come on, let's face it. He's a teddy bear. But do you remember what happened with Sandy? What happened with Sandy when Christie asked for monies? Anybody? Oh, the Texas senator said no, and the relief was voted down. Okay, what happened in Harvey when they requested monies? What did those same senators do? They asked for it, and what happened? They got it. Though often he did it in very personal terms, his prophetic finger was clearly pointed at those entrenched in positions of both influence and affluence afforded them by systems rigged in favor of their own self-interests. Oh boy, Claire, what are you getting at? Well, here's where Jesus went with it. So let's just go with Jesus, shall we? Because I like having good backup. And we're in a Christian church, you all agreed. You all agreed that you wanted to follow Jesus, right? So I can't lose, can I? Careful. In addition to this parable, there's a parable about a wise and foolish steward charged with the investments of that which is never theirs to begin with. Remember the 8 bags of gold? Money is given, and they're supposed to invest it to get more back, as well as the one about the wicked servants who attempt a hostile takeover by killing the heir to the vineyard. Remember that one? Yes? Yeah. There's the parable about the rich fool who tears down his barns to build bigger ones in order to store more than he needs, only to have his life that was entirely devoted to excess cut short. And who said that before? And rendered inconsequential at the end. Those who are first shall be last. Then there's the parable about the rich young man. Remember him? He went to Jesus thinking that he had done everything he was supposed to do. And Jesus said, well, what's the greatest commandment? He said, well, love your God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole self, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, well, great. There's one more thing you need to do. Sell everything you have and follow me. How many of you wanted to follow Jesus again? And then, of course, there is our parable today. And the parable today says that no matter when you come to the vineyard, you will be paid the same wage. What if it's exactly that? What if we are talking about wages? What are we talking about? Economic justice. And this is where context, you've heard me talk about context, is so important. So during these times, first century Palestine, it's important to know that that one coin that the laborer was going to give to each and every person was equivalent to what was sustainable for that person on that day. In other words, That amount of money could sustain a family for a day. So, the person who owned the vineyard was making sure that everybody who did any kind of work got enough pay to sustain them and their family for that day. What if the message isn't about the kingdom later on? What if the message isn't about just a simple faith transformation, but rather is about, hey, we're supposed to make sure that everybody gets a sustainable wage, and everybody is supposed to have something that allows them to live outside of poverty. Now, how do you feel about the reading? Whoever said very good, I'm coming for you next.
One of the things that was sort of interesting that I reflected on, I wonder how many people wait downtown for work. They watch as other people are picked up to go work somewhere and they're left on the street corner. They also deserve a day's amount to survive.
Are you saying, Nancy, that the willingness to work and the willingness to stay alive is enough to get what you need? Uh-oh, Claire. Okay. Somebody else said something. Who was it? Tell on your neighbor. Come on. It's okay. He did?
Yeah.
Okay. You said you still like the reading.
I did not, but I didn't say it. However, well, it just came to me, like, I don't know if this is connected in any way. I really don't, but I didn't get a raise for the last 8 years. And I have seen other people, my colleagues, make much more. But right now I'm saying, look, the Lord blessed me. He put me where he did. He blessed me where I'm at. I'm going to let him handle it. And that's what I do. I don't get like, it did bother me like lots. It did seep in once in a while. But I'm saying, nope, this is what I chose. I'm here. And I'll let the Lord handle it. Even though my colleagues get double, more than that. So, and it just came to me while you were talking, but
okay.
I didn't say that before. But
no. Anybody else? If you understand the context in which Scripture is written, and if you understand when you weave all of this together, you have to understand that Jesus, during his time, was preaching to injustice, up and against injustice. Jesus, in this particular Gospel of Matthew, is very firm in saying the kingdom of God is here and now. Not later, not after you die, but right here and now. And therefore, it's about how do we realize justice for all in the here and now. Two of you shared that it's not fair if I don't get paid what my neighbor's getting paid. And actually, Jerry, you said it too this morning at the table. Some of you would say, why am I responsible for someone else if they have been afforded the same opportunities that I have? Some of you would question, if I help another, am I really helping or am I hindering? Am I giving a hand up or a hand out? Someone else would say, I live in a democratic capitalistic society, not a socialistic society, because that's how dualistic we are, and we think that that's what this means, but it doesn't really. But that's where we go. I work hard for what I have. Why is it that I'm supposed to give that up for folks who don't work as hard as I do? Uh-oh, Claire put it in normal terms in today's day, and I don't want that. That raises social conscience, and that hurts me. Boy, this is hard, huh? Yes.
One of the mantras is equal pay, equal work.
one of the mantras is equal pay, equal work.
Right. So what do you want to do with that?
Well, in talking about the parable that you were talking about today versus that, those don't quite fit.
So what do we do about that? You have the mic, Mel. Sorry, I don't feel like reaching over right now, so.
I can reach that far.
And that's the bottom line, isn't it? The things that we say are important to us, the things that we say are embedded in our identity, we say we are Christians, or we at least say we want to follow Jesus, or we at least say that we want to realize the kingdom of God in the here and now, don't fit with those mantras. Equal pay for equal time. Now, we could have fun with that. We could say that the trash collector who picks up the billionaire's trash should make the same amount of money if they work the same amount of time. But that doesn't work either, does it? Are you okay? Are my words so profound it just knocked you off your chair? Is that what happened? Guess what? I don't have any answers for you. Got lots more questions. Questions like the current health debate that insists that the young are paying for the health care of the old, or that the healthy are paying for the health care of the sick. I love what Lewis Black says. Do you know who Lewis Black is? He's a comedian, and I really can't say it the way he would say it because I would lose my job. But he basically says, well, my house has never burned down, and it's never going to burn down, so why am I paying taxes for the fire department? There are so many questions out here, aren't there? How do we reconcile that which we hold to be part of our identity and hold to be part of who it is we want to be in the world and hold to what it means to be a follower of Jesus and to be craving after our beloved when it doesn't jive with how our world is rigged? How do we do it? No hands. Phil.
By being willing to give for the sake of others.
First, by being willing to give for the sake of others. Anybody else? Nico.
Be willing to love each other.
Be willing to love each other. Anybody else? Yes. To use your intellect to develop systems to accomplish those goals. Yes.
Claire, we can't change the world. All we can change is how we ourselves affect the world and pray that everybody else can see that.
So tell me how you're going to do that.
I'm going to do that by loving my neighbors.
Okay.
And helping wherever I can.
Okay. Good. Thanks, Ron. You got some more? Because we'll take whatever we can get. Anybody else? I always like to best. Anybody else? It can become tremendously overwhelming when we read scripture and we realize what it is we are called to do. Probably one of the greatest injustices that affects every other injustice is that of poverty and economic disparity. And it is, you are correct, we can't change the world, and we won't change the world, but we can change our world. And so we start first by being aware, by recognizing that the disparity exists. And then we move into the place of saying, where is it that I can insert myself to be helpful, not hurtful, not toxic, but helpful? I can struggle and ask the questions of, oh my God, this is driving me crazy that you're asking me to do this and I have no idea how to do it. What should I do? And then as soon as you do that, you start brainstorming, don't you? You can use your mind and your intellect and your self of sense and awareness and your privilege, and I mean privilege across the board. I mean racial, I mean economic, socioeconomic, I mean gender. Whatever you are, you can use that to say, how can I work towards moving away from systems that oppress and closer towards what this little glimmer of light is for those who have less than? I don't pretend to have answers. I can tell you to follow Scripture, knowing full well that it's really hard for me. But I do know that the more of us who enter into these conversations and these dialogues and these struggles together, questioning what it is that God has called us to do and how God has called us to be in this world, we get that much closer to realizing what that kingdom looks like in the here and now. How many of you identify as Christian? And if you don't, there's no judgment there, by the way. How many of you want to follow the teachings of Jesus? How many of you want to work together to get that much closer to realizing God's kingdom in the here and now? Then let the people say, Amen.